Welcome to the MMA Happy Hour. I am Kyle Anthony, your host. We're here. We have interviews, MMA banter, and betting advice. This week, UFC 290, a stacked card. Excited to break it down. We're going to be breaking down three fights here, like we always do. And, you know, we have some high-level cards. We have some low-level cards. This is definitely a high-level card, but people always complain about the level of cards and all this other stuff. As sports bettors, we are not looking for entertainment. We are looking for value and putting our money in strong positions. And I believe we're going to be able to do that again this Saturday. So I'm excited about breaking all of that down. But before we do, real quickly, I wanted to make the announcement that my show has an official sponsor. They reached out to me, and I'm excited to announce that Underdog Fantasy Sports is the official sponsor of the MMA Happy Hour. Excited about it overall. And each week, I'm going to start breaking down a lot of stuff that goes on there. There's opportunities for fantasy. There's Pick'em, which I'm going to talk about a little bit at the end of the show. And I'm going to be breaking down and giving out lineups every week here on the show. So stick around for that. But if you want to be and sign up and be a part of this, because fantasy, Underdog Fantasy is just an amazing, amazing site. I absolutely love it. And if you want to get involved in that, there's a link down in the description. You can go to Underdog Fantasy Sports, use promo code Mr. UFC, and we'll give you $100 for just making a deposit. But I'm excited to have them on here. That's it. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. But what I'm more excited about is Alexander Volkanovski and Yair Rodriguez. We're going to break this fight down here for you. So in this spot here, listen, we have a wide line. We have a very wide line here. You've got Alexander Volkanovski. We're looking at now minus 400. Rodriguez on the comeback, plus 290. Now, we all know why Alexander Volkanovski is pound for pound, one of the best in the world. Pound for pound, absolutely one of the best in the world. You've got Yair on the other side. This guy is absolutely impressive. The kicking game, the arsenal, what he can do. Really love what he can do overall. Did bet him pretty big against Josh Emmett in their last fight. He went out there, got the job done. But this is a different beast here when we're talking about Alexander Volkanovski. And the first thing here, going back to both of their other fights, really was I just was absolutely impressed how well Volkanovski did going up against Islam Makhachev. Now, I know that a lot of people talk about, hey, he should have won. He had the opportunity to win. Should he have won? All these things. And I do understand that part. I do understand that part. But either way, although I did take Islam, but either way, you know, it was just so impressive. It was so impressive, the scrambles, how he was in horrible positions, was able to kind of get out of that, find opportunities to move around a little bit, you know, create space. And I thought it was just so impressive that he was able to do that. And that, to me, really speaks volumes in a fight where he's going to be fighting Yair Rodriguez. And we understand, and we all know, and I'm sure all week people are going to be talking about this and saying, yeah, Yair Rodriguez, yes, this guy can't stop takedowns or struggles with the takedowns, or when he's on his back, he's terrible, all of these things. And that's all true. But when you really look at it, it is pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty bad. I mean, you know, yes, the big thing here was Frank Yeager back in 2017 really exposed him, really exposed just the lack of grappling, the lack of his get up game. He's not that strong in the clinch. That's where guys like Edgar really took advantage of him, got him down and was able to maul him and really beat the shit out of him for two rounds. And then even if you kind of look back also, you know, in the second bout with Jeremy Stephens, Stephens had some success there too. You know, once Yair was landing some big shots, Stephens got him down, Stephens mauled him a little bit. And that, to me, you know, it does speak volumes about a path to victory for Volkanovski. And then you even go to Max Holloway. I mean, Max Holloway does not take anybody down, and he was taking down Yair Rodriguez a couple times, controlled him a couple times, was working from top position. And that is very, very worrisome if you're looking to back Yair Rodriguez in this spot against a guy like Volkanovski, who's going to have that strength advantage, who's going to have that muscling advantage, who I think is going to be very strong in the clinch. And that's going to be very difficult for Yair to kind of find opportunity to really have success. I think that, yes, the cutting of the distance is going to help. I think that's definitely going to help when you're looking at, you know, you know, Yair just having that footwork, having that amazing kicking arsenal, you know, creating space, working, you know, distance management. Some of these things he really needs to set up very well. And some of these other fights, you know, maybe in the apex cage, and maybe that kind of, you know, set him up for a little bit more failure when you're trying to cut that distance. Obviously, apex cage kind of is a landscape for that. It does help some of these fighters cut distance, get closer, induces more action. We're going to have here, it's going to be the bigger cage. So I think that does help Yair in a position to kind of work at range. Although on the feet, it's close. It's definitely close on the feet. I know a lot of people kind of, you know, hey, Yair in that kicking game or Volkanovski, and what can he really do? But Volkanovski, that pace to me is going to be the difference maker. The way he can push forward, the output that he can have out there, I think really brings a lot of problems to Yair. Yes, he's dynamic, Rodriguez. Yes, he's got that kicking arsenal. Yes, there's a lot of great things that he can do. But I do believe that even just the fact of Volkanovski pushing forward is going to help smother that kicking game. And I've talked about it on here a lot, and that's really something that a lot of fighters do, is really try to smother the kicker. And the reason being is you can't really, you know, fire kicks off when you're on your back foot, when you're getting pushed back. You just cannot do it. You can, and it's very, very limited power, or you're just, just not enough behind it. And that's where Volkanovski, who's tough, durable, who is going to put himself in the fire and going to push forward, that could really hurt Yair just in the matter of him just trying to get some shots off and Volkanovski pushing forward. The other part is the leg kicks. I really believe the leg kicks are going to be very important here for Volkanovski. The skinny legs of Yair are going to be there to be chopped on, hit, and I think that where it opens up for Volkanovski as well too. And the other odd part here is that, you know, Yair's got that 6-inch height advantage, 5-6-inch height advantage. But on the other side, you know, you've got Volkanovski. They're going to have the same reach. And that dynamic has always really struggled for other opponents, because you've got a guy who's so much smaller than you, but somehow he's still clipping you from the outside. And you're like, how is this possible? It's almost like an optical illusion, because this guy looks so small, but his reach is there. And I think that, to me, you know, it's going to be very difficult for him. And I think most of the advantages go over to Volkanovski. You know, and again, I'm going over all this, but obviously that's why this line is marked at minus 400, because he just has so many weapons here. But we're looking at kind of whittling this down. And that's what I like to do in a lot of these, is we're looking for value. We're looking for absolute value here. So if you look at Volkanovski, he's not a finisher. As much as we think he is, you know, he's done some damage, he's hurt some people, he's, you know, finished the zombie, but over his last 7 fights, 6 of them went to a decision. And it was that one fight with Zombie that he got that 4th round knockout. So this is a spot where I think that the kicking arsenal of Yair could slow some of the damage that he could take down from range, from outside, working at range, you know, keeping his footwork. And I think that lengthens this fight. Now, there could be some takedowns, and we just talked about that. But I think a lot of this, even if Volk gets a takedown, I think he kind of could ride out that round. I don't know if he's going to get that finish, but I think he kind of rides out the round. And that kind of gives this fight some length, keeps it going. So I do like... I'm going to stick with Volkanovski, of course, but I am going Alexander Volkanovski via decision. It's plus 110. I like that number. I think it's very good here, a likely path, and it continually is his path to victory. So I'll take that plus 110, Alexander Volkanovski, to get the job done. All righty. Next one we're going to talk about here, Jimmy Crute versus Alonzo Menafield. Now, you've got minus 110. Menafield is minus 106. Now, this is an interesting fight when you're looking at this. Line has stayed close, between these two guys. And, you know, you're definitely here. Another spot in MMA Twitter, you're really hearing one side or the other side very, very passionately breaking this one down. But you've got Crute, tough guy. Durable, gonna push forward, has that wrestling, has that ability to kind of grind on you. That's what he's gonna look to do. Now you've got Menafield on your side, knockout power, big, strong guy, gonna look to get that finish, and he's gonna look to do it early. Now, this was also a rematch back in February, which I guess this is a rematch that nobody wanted, but I guess, you know, it could bring some fireworks to the cage on Saturday night. But this is a spot here when you break the other fight down. There is a lot of takeaways that I think you bring into this fight on Saturday. And when you're looking at it, that first round, you know, Crute sold out for the takedowns. And rightfully so, because he does not want to stand and bang with Menifield while Menifield's throwing these big hammers. He does not want to do that. Crute is a brawler. He can stand and brawl, but that's got him in trouble a couple times. So I think he's going to keep doing that in this fight on Saturday, but just saw what he was doing in that first fight. Really sold out for it. But also the fact that Menifield, he's no slouch to be taken down. He's a strong guy early. He was able to get up pretty damn quickly. And then he was able to sprawl. Get it, sprawl. And the big issue for Crute in that first fight was the fact that he was starting to look to get a takedown, went for this like a front choke, I guess it was, and pulled back, looked to kind of sink it in. Menifield gets out of it. Menifield lands a bomb, hurts him. And after that, that really changed the trajectory of this fight. Crute never really got his sea legs. You know, he was kind of wobbling around a lot after that. And I thought that really, really changed where this fight was going to go, how it was going to go. And you really saw that Crute, you know, he was gassed in that second round. And that's where Menifield started to land some shots. It almost looked, you know, Menifield dropped him multiple times, even at the end of that first round. When Menifield rocked him, you know, there's 10 more seconds, Alonzo probably puts him away. So there was some mistakes that were made there that I think he could adjust in this fight, because Menifield has the opportunity to land the big shots. He's a strong guy, all those big things that he can do, you know, and then even going into that third round. But the third round was the key to me, where it starts to push me one way, because there was opportunity for, you know, for Crute to just get a takedown and control, get a takedown control. And I think if he had had that plan and didn't look for the finish right away or didn't look to do that, I think he does that to Menifield early, works him, tires him out, tires him in that second round, keeps working the takedowns. And I think that starts to really allow Crute to be freely moving around, to just be able to do what he needs to do to get opportunity to get the control time. And the other part here is you want to slow down Menifield in general with just what he does with his gas tank, because early is going to be scary. Early is going to be throwing these big shots, and you just need to slow him down, work him. And I think that does help him, because Crute is durable. So the one thing here is that even if he gets hit with a big shot, he has the ability to absorb them fairly well. I mean, not like it's the greatest thing. You want to get hit in the chin by Menifield, but he can take him. So if he's looking for these takedowns, he can take some of these shots. He can absorb them. And I think he will just come in with a better game plan here than he did in their last fight overall. And, you know, Crute at 27 is going to make improvements. I think he's going to continually get better. I like his skill set. I think the wrestling is there. I just think if he can step up a little bit, he can really go out there and just kind of just smother up Menifield for most of the fight. And that feels like where it's going to go. Now, Crute, their first time, it was minus 180 going off at here. We're getting a better price, minus 120. And I got to take it. I have to take this Jimmy Crute spot here. We're getting a discount on a guy that I think made some mistakes, did some stupid things in that first round, you know, allowed himself to get rocked out in that second round. I think he just fights a little bit more smart here, has that ability to kind of push that pace and absolutely drown Menifield in the end of that second. In that third round, really that first round is going to be scary. The big shots are going to be coming, but it's going to be scary. But for me here in this spot, I like Jimmy Crute, man. I think minus 120 is a good number, a good spot, worth it. I don't think we need to go, method of victory in this spot. So I like the value here in Jimmy Crute, minus 120. That's going to be my play. And the last one I'll quickly go over before we talk about underdog fantasy sports pick'em, my lineup for this week. We are going to talk, how do I get this up here? We're going to talk Jalen Turner, minus 245 against Dan Hooker, plus 186. Now, going to get this one out quickly here. Looking at this fight here, you got Jalen. You know, Jalen is long, lanky. He's explosive. He's got, you know, a good game, a good skill set overall. You know, he's got that submission ability. He can go out there and really do it all. And I like his growth. You know, he had some losses, but he really is on fire and looks the best he's looked in his career. And you just know he's got the tools and the frame to just have a lot of success in this division. On the other side, Dan Hooker, fan favorite, likes to brawl, will bring the noise to his opponent. And he's faced a lot of top level guys. So he always has that in the back where if anyone's taking that shot on Dan Hooker, you know, guys got experience, and I don't mind that play when you're looking at it. But if you really kind of dive into it a little bit, you know, it's almost like, maybe this is a bad analogy, but it's almost like a changing of the guard. Now, Dan Hooker is 33. It's not like he's this old guy, but it's just the damage. And I can't get past the damage that Dan Hooker took. I mean, the guy was getting has absolute wars. I mean, if you look at it, it was, you know, the wars with, you know, Dustin Poirier, Paul Felder. He was, you know, knocked out by an absolute beating that he took by Edson Barboza, knocked out by Michael Chandler, Arnold Allen, another one. I mean, this guy has absolutely taken damage. He is the epitome of MMA mileage, and he's young, but he has just taken so much. And for me, it kind of seems like he's just not absorbing punches very well. Now, I you know, it's his reaction to them are just seem different. You know, instead of being in the pocket, taking the shots, moving forward, I really feel like he's kind of backing up a little bit. He's kind of, when he gets rocked, he kind of steps back a little bit. And somebody like Jalen Turner, who has the weapons, has that arsenal, has that the ability to go out there, push that pace, there's going to be a lot of opportunity to land the big shot. I love the way his kicking arsenal goes too, that front kick that he has. I really think Jalen Turner can do some damage with that overall. But if you're looking at kind of how this fight plays out, I like the fact that this is a spot where really you got to look at it being very aggressive. Both of these guys are going to push forward. Both these guys are going to look, push the pace, get on each other. And I think it's going to happen early and often. Again, Hooker's a willing dance partner, and Jalen Turner is a guy looking for finishes. And I think that he has that ability. If he has that right dance partner, he's going to look to get those finishes. And both of these guys are going to tangle, are going to push forward. And that, to me, starts to allow somebody like Jalen Turner to land a big shot. Now, I don't think there's going to be many takedowns. I don't think that Hooker's going to get a takedown and work him from top. If he does, it's just a change of pace. I don't think he's game planning to dive at legs for three rounds. So I think it's a spot where Dan Hooker is going to do what Dan Hooker does. He's going to stand, he's going to strike, and that allows, again, Jalen Turner to throw big shots, land big shots. So for me in this spot here, I like Jalen Turner. This is a spot where both of them are going to be very similar frames, but the ranginess, the power, the explosiveness, and the lack of MMA mileage on Jalen Turner's part. I like Jalen Turner here, but I like Turner via knockout plus 230. I like that number here. That's a juicy one for Jalen Turner getting off the minus 245. So for me here in this spot, I'm taking Jalen Turner via knockout plus 230. Now, the last thing we're going to talk about here is our underdog fantasy pick'em lineup. I'm going to dive into it real quickly here for you. So we're going to throw $100 on this one here. And in this situation, we're doing higher or lower on certain things that are going to happen here in the fight. Now, I'm sure you all know about this and props and all those things. This is going to be very similar as well, too. And again, Underdog Fantasy Sports has a ton of other sports, live drafts, all of these great things. And again, we're going to go more and more over these as the weeks progress. But for me, my first one here, you got Alexander Volkanovski. I'm taking lower than three takedowns. And the reason being is because I don't think he's going to get that many. Is that good enough answer? But I don't think he's going to get that many, because I think if he gets a takedown, I think he rides out that round. And I don't think there's going to be like this, like he takes him down and Yair gets back up and then he's looking to dive at legs again and take him down. I don't really see that. So you're going to need four takedowns in this spot against Yair. I think if that happens, you know, if it happens by over that, I mean, that may be a finish, I think, if he keeps doing that. But I really think, again, if I play this out the way I just broke down the fight, I do see this fight going the distance. I think that's going to be a fight that can go the distance, but I think it's going to be less and less where Yair can work at range, work it, you know, land some big shots, defend. And I like I like lower than three takedowns in that spot. The other one I'm taking, Brandon Moreno, lower than 1.5 takedowns. Now, reason here is the fact that, you know, I don't think he wants to be in the ground with Pantoja. You know, Pantoja is lethal on the ground. The guy is absolutely dangerous. I don't think he's going to be looking to shoot for takedowns. I think if anything, Moreno's going to be kind of working at range, doing what he does. I think he's going to be very, very leery of just doing what he does, as in coming forward, big shots, big heavy shots. That, to me, I think is not going to work out well. That may allow Pantoja to get takedowns. And I don't think that's where Moreno wants to be in this spot here. So I'm going to be going lower than 1.5 takedowns from Moreno. And my last one's going to be Jimmy Crute, higher than 2.5 takedowns. And now the reason being on this one is mostly because Menefield can get up. You know, he has the ability, as we just talked about, he has the ability early to get up. And I think that first round, I think the first two rounds, this may cover in the first two rounds. I think that he may go over this or go higher than this over the first two rounds, because again, Menifield early is going to get up and it's going to provide the landscape for multiple opportunities where, again, where Volkanovski, I think if he gets him down, I think he just keeps him down, beats him up a little bit, and then we go to the next round. So I think there's less opportunity for Yair to get up, and I think here there's more Menifield opportunity to get up. So I do like higher than 2.5 takedowns for Jimmy Crute. So there you have it for our UFC 290 show. And again, if you want to become a client on Wager Talk, link down in the description. I have a best bet play up right now. Also, if you want to get involved in Underdog Fantasy Sports, link also down in the description. Once you get there, you could use Mr. UFC, get 100% return, deposit return on your deposit up to $100, if I said that correctly. But you know what I mean. So there you have it. We'll see how we do here. Let's dominate. Let's go out there. Let's continue to do what we do out here in this summer. We've been doing well. Last week, but we've been doing well overall. So the ups and the downs of the world of sports betting. So, hey, that's the show. We will see you next time, and let's cash.